Here are the verses, the handout that you have with the title of Redemption of Clay Jars. Verses in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, for us to keep in mind as we're listening to the message today. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 9. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And Jeremiah 32, verse 41. I will take delight in them to do what is good for them, and with all my heart and mind I will faithfully plant them in this land. May God add his blessing to that reading.
Before I start into the message today, I had one of my patients come in this week, and they listened to the messages, and they said, when you tell people to circle and do that sort of thing, he said, what are you doing? And so I thought, well, people that are listening on the website don't have a clue what I'm talking about, so I need to clarify that. First of all, Nate, you do make these available for downloads, okay? So if you're listening on the website, the verses that we are going to cover are available on the download. What I'm telling my congregation to do is to circle certain phrases and words on these sheets, on the scriptures, and to draw arrows between them sometimes, because it's a good way to study scripture. So, the clarification for those listening, that's what I'm doing. And if you want to download that yourself, you can follow along with the study. I think it's an excellent way to, it's how I studied, always. It's how I studied my academic world. I did it this way and it served me well, so I carried that into the study of scripture, and it serves me very well. So today, redemption of clay jars. And what I alluded to during our sharing time, the challenge of ministry is not just to get up here and give you interesting things, or to give a great message, or emotionally pander, or anything like that. The challenge of genuine ministry is, as we said this morning, is it practical? Are the things that we believe and the things that Scripture teaches practical? Do they help us day to day? So that's what I try to do. So, redemption of clay jars. We have to understand the function of the Holy Spirit in order to understand prayer. And yes, I'm leading up to this at a snail's pace, but because it's complicated and there's a lot to grasp here. And our flagship story to support what I'm talking about was the parable of the talents, because that explains so much. And I'm just going to read the first few verses of the parable of the talents. That's in Matthew 25, starting with verse 14. I'll just read it to you. And Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven. For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over, note well the next phrase, his possessions to them. His possessions to the slaves. Now, the slaves had something. The slaves had a certain amount of wherewithal. But the master, in order to have the kingdom managed the way it should be managed, did not trust those slaves with their own skill set. He gave the slaves his own possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. What are the talents? His possessions. The talents are his possessions, the master's possession, part of himself. What the master possessed. Then he went on a journey. Immediately, note well that word, immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went and put them to work. He had to do something. He went and put them to work. It's not passive. There was something incumbent on this one who received the master's possessions, who received part of the master. He went and put him to work, and he earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who had 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's possession. Now, it's not a big leap for us to understand and see behind the curtain here what's going on. Jesus is talking about himself going away on a long journey, leaving his slaves, us, in charge of the kingdom. And he gives us the talents, his possession, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked last week about form and function. Form and function are going to be redeemed by the Holy Spirit, which is going to be glorious, a glorious revelation to us, and a glorious release of creation from the bondage of corruption. Our form is going to be redeemed by the Holy Spirit, new bodies. Our function is going to be redeemed by the Holy Spirit, enablement to prosecute and carry out looking after the kingdom. Form and function. If you grasp those two concepts, there's a lot of gems here for you. Practical gems. Well, why is that necessary in thinking about the parable of the talents? Why are both redemptive acts necessary? Why are they necessarily accomplished by the Holy Spirit? Well, because we've been traumatized. Our species was greatly traumatized. In Genesis 3, we fell, and we fell spectacularly. We fell hard. And when you fall, just like in my work, people are traumatized, physically traumatized, in Teresa's work, emotionally traumatized. And they come in. Why? Because what happens from trauma? Kathy, you know, you're weakened. So they've been traumatized, they're weakened, and they come in because they need redeemed. Their function and their form need to be redeemed. They're weak. They need guidance. Why did the master turn over his possessions to the slaves? They were weak. They needed his possessions. We have been traumatized greatly, and it has weakened us as a species greatly, and therefore, we need rehabilitation. In my work, I do rehabilitation for musculoskeletal injuries. And when a person first comes in, sometimes they can hardly walk in. They're weak. And that leads us to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Talk about weak. Now we have this treasure. At the risk of being you throwing hymn books at me, circle this treasure, and right above it, there's the talent. There's the possession of the master. Paul's calling it a treasure. Now we have this treasure in clay jars. Well, clay jars are weak. When we were traumatized, we became clay jars instead of titanium. And as clay jars, now see if this resonates with you, because self-disclosure, it so resonates with your pastor. And I think that's helpful for you, because if the message convicts me, I can bring it with conviction to you. Clay jars. What about a clay jar? Well, clay jars are subject to circumstances, situations, and problems that are beyond our ken. What does that mean? What does it mean when something is beyond our ken? It means, as a clay jar, you're dealing right now, and I'll bet you I'm speaking to every man, Jack, one of you, you're dealing right now with a circumstance, a situation, or a problem that is beyond your ken, which means, beyond your ken means it is not within the range of what you know and understand. We have a range as clay jars. I'm holding up my hands, and they're about 2 feet apart. Now, as clay jars, we within that 2-foot range, we handle things pretty good. They're within our ken. They're within the range of what we know and what we understand. I've got those. You've got those. We get those things. But we're clay jars. So there's going to be things, circumstances, situations, and problems that leap over the boundary of this 2-foot spanse and are not therefore within the range of what we know and understand. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure you are. If you're not, then you are like Cleopatra. Queen of denial. Yeah. All right. So, but there's a, being clay jars is by design. Look at what Paul says. We have this treasure in clay jars so that, there's a reason, so that this extraordinary power may be from God. Okay, again, this extraordinary power may be from God is another way to call name the talent. Another way that Paul's saying, here's another way to describe the Holy Spirit. It's a treasure, and it's got extraordinary power. So there's the talent. There's the possession of the master that he gave to his slaves, the clay jars, because he left, and he knows that the clay jars aren't quite up to it. aren't up to the task because they've been traumatized, they've been weakened, and they need to be redeemed. So that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. You know, sometimes, and this is too far afield for our present discussion, and maybe it's too much into the weeds, the fall was necessary. Genesis 3 was necessary. We had to become clay jars. Because before Adam and Eve were clay jars, they were relying, they succumbed to the temptation of the enemy. Use your power. Because they were presented with a circumstance, situation, and problem that was beyond their ken. That was not within the range of their knowledge or their power. You see, the enemy is very good at that. And to flip that coin around, God is also very good at that. God will put you clay jars out there, into circumstances and situations and problems that are purposefully beyond your ken. Purposefully not in the range of what you know and understand. Think there's a reason for that? So that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Where's the practicality? Tim, you said you're going to make this practical. Right now, it's just kind of airy-fairy theoretical. Okay, fair enough, in a sense. But here's practicality. We are pressured in every way. But not crushed. But we're clay jars. We should be crushed. A clay jar can't stand up to very much pressure. It's going to be crushed. Well, it's extraordinary power. It's held within the clay jar. Because if you're up against a circumstance, situation, or power, or problem that a clay jar can withstand, who needs the extraordinary power? Who needs it? This gives meaning to what you're going through right now. You're going through something that is out, not within the range of your knowledge and power. And you're banging on the door of heaven, and you're saying to God, I want you to put this within my range. Aren't you? We have prayer requests this morning of things beyond our range of knowledge and power. And too often our requests are just that. Change that into something that I, as a clay jar, can manage. We're pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. And we're struck down, eventually, we're struck down, but not destroyed. So where's the fruit? We just explained the talent, the power, the possession of the master is the treasure, and it has extraordinary power. That's the possession of the master that he gave to us, the slaves, in keeping with the parable. So where's the fruit? You're supposed to take this talent that you've been given, and where's the fruit in this passage? The fruit is the but nots. Oh, yeah, here's some more circling. Okay. There's four fruits, but not crushed. Fruit one, but not in despair. Two, but not abandoned. Three, but not destroyed. There's the fruit. You can, as a clay jar, I am so there right now. And you can, as a clay jar, draw on your own clay jardom to push back against these things. And you do have a certain amount of pushback as a clay jar. You got something. And sometimes you can even negotiate those things pretty well. And sometimes you can push back in a way that the circumstance, situation, or problem seems to mitigate. And sometimes it does. Teresa and I were talking about this last night with our fireside chat because of what she is, you know, what we talked about, the stressors of taking care of elderly parents. And I said, you can push back against that on your own, with your own acumen. You can. And you will get a certain result. Okay, simplify. But the Holy Spirit's treasurely, extraordinarily powerful pushback leads to what God intends to happen in and through you because of the circumstance, situation, or problem. His pushback may not be anything that you would do. But allowing his pushback instead of yours results in what he intends. I'm so convinced that every little thing that happens to God's people, every little thing, is by a sovereign God and for a purpose. Because when you come up with a circumstance, situation, or problem that is not, that's a phrase you might want to write down, not within the range of your knowledge and power, not within the range of your knowledge and power, you're weak. That's weakness. This is all going to dovetail nicely and come in for an Avalon landing when we get to 8:26, Romans. Yes, we're going to get there. But this is how we're circling the airport. We're going to land. Understanding this concept about the Holy Spirit and the extraordinary power and the pushback and our clay jardom and our not knowing and things beyond our ken, all of those things are going to play in beautifully to this. Yeah, you can push back. I think the best example I can give of that, when Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus says, it's not going to end well for me here. I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be put to death. That is a circumstance, situation, and problem that is beyond the range of our knowledge and power. And Peter immediately pushes back with clay jardom, doesn't he? What's he say? Oh, no, Lord, this can never happen to you. And Jesus could have listened to that, and it could have turned around. You see, Peter did give pushback. Peter gave his pushback. And ostensibly, it makes perfect sense. You can push back. Your pushback truncates the extraordinary power. Your pushback prevents the divine purpose for all of the stuff we go through. Tracking? So you see, Peter pushed back. And Jesus immediately reprimanded him. And he said, Peter, you're thinking like men, not like God. And he says to Peter, he says, Satan's got you here. Satan. And it's an offense to me. Peter, you thinking this way is an offense to me. And of course, verse 8 and verse 9 are emblematic of the life of Jesus himself, aren't they? Because he was pressured in every way. He was perplexed. He was persecuted. And he was eventually struck down. But what did he rely on? What did he let push back? The extraordinary power. He stepped aside and let the extraordinary power. Because his body was a clay jar. What the law could not do, because it was limited by the flesh, God did. God sent his son in flesh, like ours, under sin's domain. Jesus had a physicality that was a clay jar. And when he was pressured, he wasn't crushed. He was perplexed, certainly. He never fell into despair. Persecuted, certainly, but he was never abandoned. And when he was struck down on the cross, he was not destroyed. Do you see the extraordinary power? And you see how Jesus himself could have blocked that power? You can block that power. It's the hardest thing you're ever going to do. This is simple, but it's not easy. The butt knots are the fruit of employing the talent. And those talents, note well, are produced independently of your abilities. Well, you don't like that, do you? I hate it. I like to think I'm a very capable man, and I have some good abilities. And when something is not within the range of what I know and understand, something's produced beyond my capabilities. That's the extraordinary power. And yet, you know, I've said, you've heard me say, we're doomed to make decisions, aren't we? You're struggling with things, and you're doomed to make a decision. So we have a responsibility, like the parable. The men were given the master's possessions, but they had a responsibility. Put the master's possessions to work. There's our responsibility. I said I was going to make this practical. Sounds great, Tim. How do I do that? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. You may read these verses and this string of verses and you think, Tim is like Alice in Wonderland. He fell down a rabbit hole because these verses are just all over the map. And okay, you can think that, but the Spirit dictates these verses and ties them for me with a thread. And so when I read the 2 Corinthians and I read the parable of the talents, I said, now what's the practicality here? How do we do this? How do you take the master's possessions in your life, in your particular situation and problem that is outside, beyond the range of your knowledge and power? What do you do? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord. Talent. Circle. There it is. That's the talent in this passage. Every passage in Scripture gives this theme to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do this But don't do this, and do not rely on your own understanding. That which is not within the range of what I know or understand, the temptation and the demand that I make to God is, as I said earlier, bring it into my range. Because if you bring it into my range, then my pushback will be sufficient, and I won't need to rely on this extraordinary power from the Spirit. I'd rather not do that. I want it manageable by me. So God, bring it into my range. And here the proverb says, don't do that. Do not rely on your own understanding. Well, that's, okay, again, simple. Not easy. How do we put the master's possession to work so that we experience the extraordinary power, pushback against being pressured, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down? This is the practical side of this. This is how we get practical. Verse 6. How is trust with all my heart activated? Verse 6, think about him in all your ways. That's the face of trusting with all my heart. I have a way. If I want to leave the church, there's the way, down the center. That's my way. Makes sense. And when I'm faced with a circumstance, situation, and problem that is not within the range of my knowledge and understanding, I have a way. But I have to pause and think about him in all of my preconceived, very sensible ways. This makes eminent sense. And God says, not so fast. Because remember what I said, your ways aren't my ways, and my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and as high as the heaven is above the earth, and et cetera, et cetera. So your way seems right and straightforward, and your way brings that into the range of your knowledge and power, but this verse says, the way I trust in him with all my heart is I run my way through the filter of him. Think about him. Think about him in all your ways. And he will guide you on the right path. Okay. Every promise in Scripture has a condition. Well, we want to be guided along the path that I choose. So that's my prayer, God. He will guide you on the right path. There's the fruit. There's the fruit. You take these things and you ask me, how do we make this practical? And my answer to you is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, put into shoe leather. Now here's, and we'll end with this. Here's the message, the parable of the talents for practicality. And here's how it's going to help you. I hope so. The one who received 5 talents, what's the word say? Immediately put it to work. And that gained fruit. So here you are up against something that is beyond your ken, not within the range of your knowledge and power. Here you are. And you can take this extraordinary power and bury it. I'll dig that up if my ways don't pan out. But the parable says, the man who took it, he immediately put it to work. So when you come up across a circumstance, situation, and power that is beyond your ken because you're a clay jar, the trick is, I hate that word, I don't know what else other word to use. I'm going to use it. The trick is, skip the lag time. You got lag time? I do. Where did I bury that treasure? My way's not working. Where is that? Where is it? I'm going to dig it up, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. But there's a lag time that you suffer through. The practicality is, there is on offer for us extraordinary power. So therefore, it just makes sense, put it to work immediately. Put it to work immediately. Don't languish in the twilight of this lag time. Why is this, why, God, why the stuff beyond my ken? We take the experience of the extraordinary power pushing back for us, with us, into the consummated kingdom, which will be very much needed by us in the consummated kingdom. Did you understand that, what I just said? The only things that we take with us, Teresa and I are talking about this fireside chat. The only two things you take with you into eternity are relationships and experiences. That's it. And we need very much now the experience of the extraordinary power immediately put to work in our lives. Because on the other side of that thin blue line, we're going to be called upon to call upon the experiences we had using that extraordinary power in a fallen world to then take that experience and employ it, parable of talents, in the kingdom. The master comes back, share the joy of my kingdom, run it for me, and take the experience that you learned while I was away as your North Star. Ever and always, all of this is the work of the Holy Spirit, which yes, you can hold my feet to the fire on this promise, ironclad guarantee. Next week, we're going to do Romans 8:26. Yes, the plane's going to land. And we're going to unpack that beautiful passage of Romans 8:26. Let's pray. Lord, bless these words. Amen.